It is Sunday, December the 15th, and today we're going to consider another Christmas text. It's a passage in Scripture which is not usually considered for a Christmas message, but I think it is a very, very wonderful Christmas text. It is found in Galatians 4, 4 through 7. Would you please get out your Bible and turn to that text, Galatians 4, 4 through 7. Let's bow for prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you this morning that as we think of Christmas, we know the reality of the meaning of Christmas and the reason for celebration. We thank you for the Bible texts which teach us the truth. As we approach the study of Galatians 4, 4 through 7, we ask that the Holy Spirit will reveal the truth of this text to us and apply it to our hearts today and forever. This is our prayer. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you follow in your Bible as I read this text, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a servant, but a son. And if a son, than an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Now the purpose of this text is to reveal that Christ brought us out from being a slave to the law so that we could become sons of God. And in order for that to occur, he had to become human. And this text reveals that to us. We'll approach it today by considering three points. First of all, the event. Secondly, the explanation of the event. And thirdly, the experience of the event. So we'll look at the event itself, actually the Christmas text, which says, God sent forth his Son. Sent forth means apostles. An apostle is a person who is sent forth by God. God the Father sent forth his Son. This is out of love. This is out of compassion. This is out of mercy. And while we are so grateful for the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must not forget the love and compassion and mercy of God the Father, who sent forth his Son. That is Christmas. The text states that he was born of a woman, not a man. He had no earthly father, so that he could be sinless. The human race receives the sin nature of Adam through the male. The Savior, to be sinless, must not receive that sin nature. So he was born of a woman through the miraculous ministry of the Holy Spirit. He sent forth his son, born of a woman, so he could be sinless. Now it also says he is born under the law. It was necessary for him to be under the law so he could fulfill the law. And therefore, we who believe in him would no longer be condemned by the law because it has been fulfilled. So here is the event. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, the Virgin Mary, born under the law. Now, another thing in this text about the event is the timing. Paul records that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. We could say at the perfect moment in history, at the exact predestinated day, Christ was born. Christmas is here. You think back from the beginning of Genesis and all through the Old Testament history. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all the events of the kings of Israel and all the other empires that had arisen, the Babylonian, the Persian, the Greece, the Roman. And now all that history was preparation for this day, this moment. Now all history flows out of that moment. Christ is the center of history. The timing of it, perfect, exact predestination. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. That is the literal, actual event in history. Now the text goes on to explain the meaning of God sending forth his son. What is the explanation of this? Well, the text says in verse 5, it is to redeem those who were under the law. That is us. We needed redemption. We needed someone to pay the price to set us free from bondage to the law. And Christ came to pay that price, paid in full, to redeem, to purchase. We are purchased people with a proper price to buy us out of bondage. And that price paid was the sacrifice of his own life, a willing substitutionary sacrifice he made, which was sufficient to satisfy the justice of God so that we could be forgiven and to be taken out from under the bondage of the law. The law can no longer condemn the believer because the price has been paid. Now, secondly, the explanation says that we were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. It's an interesting thing that adoption is a very, very prominent doctrine in Scripture, yet so little is known of it. He came to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. It is not earned. It is not merited. It is simply received as the gift because the purchase price was paid. We became qualified to be adopted. We could not qualify ourselves. There was nothing we could do. But Christ came to redeem that we might receive the adoption of sons. So we have the event, God sending forth his Son, the explanation to redeem, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, what about the experience? We read about that in verse 6. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Here is that term again. God sent forth. The first time we read, God sent forth his Son. Now we read, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son. That is the Holy Spirit. And where did he send him? Into our hearts. That's why this event can be experienced. Because Christ was not only born in the manger in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, ministered in Galilee and Jerusalem. Those are all outside of us. But God sending forth the Spirit of Christ into our hearts brings it inside. There is the indwelling Spirit of Christ inside us, not outside. It is Christ in us now, which means that God is now our Father. And there is a term in Aramaic here called Abba, which means dear Heavenly Father. That's why we are able to say this. Dear Heavenly Father. Only the believer in Christ can say that and mean it. And we do this day. Dear Heavenly Father. The great Creator is now our Father. And we are his sons, no longer servants, but sons. I was thinking of the days when the cowboys ran here in the West. And in the movies, you would see a new man coming to the owner of the ranch looking for a job. And the owner would size him up and say, all right, you're hired. And he'd say to the foreman, go show him the bunkhouse. Now, the hired servants did not live in the house. They lived in the bunkhouse. The sons lived in the house. Now, as believers, being adopted as sons, we are in the house. We live in the house with the Father, with the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are gifts of God's grace. Now, in verse 7, we go on to learn that we have become an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Romans 8:16 proclaims that we are joint heirs with Christ. This is by grace that every believer is a joint heir with Christ. Now, he is said to be the heir of all things. You think of the material universe. It is all his. It always has been all his. Now we are heirs with him. Every believer is a joint heir with Christ. There is nothing about this which makes us better or above another. This is all by grace. We do not earn this inheritance. And we do not deserve this inheritance. And no one believer deserves more than another, because it is all by grace. It is grace in the beginning. It is grace today. And it will be grace forever. By grace, we are heirs of God through Christ Jesus. So here is this wonderful, marvelous, glorious Christmas text, which records the event of God sending forth his Son, the explanation to redeem and to receive adoption, and to experience it by having the Spirit of Christ inside of us, in our hearts. Well, what is the summary of this? The summary of this refers to Christmas gifts. It has become a good thing, a good tradition through the years, for us to give at Christmas time. And to remember those we love with gifts, that's a proper thing. But those gifts don't last. But today we have considered some Christmas gifts that last forever, because they are divine gifts from God to those whom he saves, to those whom he redeems, to those to whom he gives adoption as sons. These can never be taken from us. So we thank the Lord today for this marvelous text of Scripture, which states our position in him, a position which can never change and will never be taken from us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these gifts. What a privilege it is to receive redemption, to be adopted as a son into your family. Thank you that you are our Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that the Holy Spirit now is in our heart, enabling us to say, Abba, Father, thank you, praise you, we love you, we worship you, we serve you, through Christ our Lord. Amen.